Okay. Now, I said last week we're doing a series that we're using the theme of make room. Make room for Jesus in more areas of our lives. Those of you who read the Beza and then subsequently the Beano, I think, will know about the numbskulls. Come across the numbskulls with all the rooms inside somebody's head where you had, which was played through in a really nice film called Inside Out not so long ago. I find that really useful to think about, that of course I've got Jesus in my life, of course I want Jesus in my life, but there are bits that he can't get into. Now, some of those bits are intentional because I don't want him taking over some areas. And I know some of you have got your driving room, okay, the room when you get in the car, and there is no way that Jesus is getting there, because you might be 1/50th of a second later if you drive like Jesus would. Yeah? So that's an easy one. But there are other rooms that are intentional, unintentional. Most of us have got a box room. Yeah? Come across the idea of a box room. The box room's the room that rich people used to have, which they kept boxes in. Now we keep the unluckiest child in that room, yeah? It's a small bedroom. And if you're buying a three-bedroom semi, one of the things you do is you go there with a tape measure and you make sure that you can fit a bed in there. And all the times that people don't take into account the skirting board when they measure whether a bed can go in, yeah? So you've got rooms like that. And all of us have got all sorts of boxes of rubbish in our life. If you don't want Jesus to go in the loft, that's perhaps not so much of a problem. But of course, we want him in every area of our life. And we inherit rubbish from our families, like it or not. The best possible parents are not perfect parents. And if you've got adult kids, they will let you know you have not been the perfect parents in ways which are specially designed to embarrass you. And there are things as well from our earlier experience. It's loads and loads of talk about bullying and its effect on people. And we're going to mention a couple of those things. And actually, next week, we're going to be talking about some of this unintentional luggage. So this is all about this issue. The posh religious word is spiritual formation. Formation is the journey of becoming more like Jesus on the inside. Last week we talked about how getting together on a Sunday, getting together in the week, even getting together to eat pizza, to do a park run or to meditate, actually helps shape us to become more like Jesus on the inside. And we said that in terms of community practices, in terms of what we do together, it actually starts with turning up. And we move from what we feel like to what is going to be helpful. It goes on, we said, to respond in. And we pushed that a little bit this morning, didn't we, with my thing about feet and whispering, speaking, shouting. And sometimes those things are a little bit uncomfortable as we seek to join in. You may say, goodness me, they're also a bit basic. But yeah, getting the basic stuff's good. Then we talked about listening as well, and talked about attending, paying attention, which is hard work, okay? Not as hard work as doing maths at college, not as hard work as listening to lectures on 18th century history, but it is hard work. So there's paying attention, there's discerning, there's understanding what God's saying to you in it, there's confession, because part of the purpose of us being confronted by God's word is that it indicates what's not so good on the inside. And then there's also acting, which is arguably the most important bit of it. And we did actually use a theme song, which Chris taught us, our resident music teacher, last week, and he's not here this week, so I've had to do a bit of work on this. And the words were this: I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities. That's true. Everybody has the same amount of time. And you choose what is most important in your life. I choose what's most important in mine. And this is where, of course, the rubber hits the road. And Jesus, you're my number one. So I will make room for you. I will prepare for two. So you don't feel that you can't live here. Please live in me. We use the song, I'll Raise a Hallelujah, as a prayer. We use this one as well. So see how you get on singing with singing along with this. I had to write the captions on this yesterday, and I thought, when I got it right through, it repeats three times. But then, of course, he speeds up each time, so the captions have to go in faster. So let's see how we get along singing. Might need a bit of volume on this, Paul. Okay, let's sing. Space for... So there's our prayer. We're going to revisit at the end if we've got time. And it's already up, I think, on Facebook, so you can track it through. There's a couple of YouTube links, but not to that particular clip. I'm not sure what will happen. If we try and put that up on Facebook, does it recognise it as being stolen from somewhere? It doesn't seem to with the others. Yeah, okay. There are so many stolen versions of the song that it's not the biggest problem in the world. Now, today we're going to talk about making room for Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and for Father God in our lives through blessing. Now, blessing is a strange word to use. It's an old-fashioned word, and it sort of came into vogue a little while ago when people were saying, oh, bless. And goodness knows what they meant by that, because blessing is God being good to us, God's favour and protection. So that's really what we're talking about. So God being good to us, and blessing is having good health, perhaps. Blessing is having enough money. Blessing can be having a lovely family as well. All those things are blessing. Now, what I'm going to do this morning, as an example, I am going to focus on money, because it is the kind of blessing that the Bible talks most about, believe it or not. And Jesus talks about money tons. He talks about money more than he talks about sexuality. He talks about money more than he talks about heaven. He talks about money more than he talks about hell. In fact, the reason he talks about money is because I make space for what I treasure. Yeah? And that is... So basically, I'm going to be using money as an example of blessing, and I'm not going to be talking about giving to the church. I've got no problem with talking about giving to the church. We need to talk about that from time to time. But when I say money, I could just as well be talking about health. I could just as well be talking about having a lovely family. I could just as well be talking about your job going well. And all of those things are tied up in that. But money is the one where there is more evidence, there's more material on it. And I'm actually going to start with the... first big story about blessing in the Bible. Any of you Bible experts, guess what that story is? The story about blessing. First story. Very early on in the Bible. Even earlier than that. Pardon? Cain and Abel. Yeah, I suppose that is a story about blessing. It wasn't the one I was thinking about. But it is a story about blessing, because God responded to him. The one I'm thinking about is the story of Abraham. Okay? And that is where we get this concept of blessing coming in. And just at the beginning of chapter 13, so it's quite early on in Genesis, the Lord had said to Abraham, we don't quite know when he said it, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now, if that sounds a bit like a poem, it's not surprising, because it probably became a bit of a poem. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. So, the first time it talks about being blessed in the Bible, there's a flip side to it. That the reason we're blessed is so that we can be a blessing. That's always the connection. Now, does that fit in the Bible? But, okay, before we get to that, I'm interested in what our luggage is, what we're carrying with us on this, what our attitude is. And so I'd like to ask you this question, which is quite difficult because it involves some exploration, is what did or what does your family think about money? What's their attitude to money? Now, if you've got family members in the church, like Rosie, like Gillian, I suggest you try and reach back several generations. That's probably the better way to do it, or more generally about your family. But Dawn and her parents, whose names, I'm sorry, I've forgotten. Every time I ask, it goes straight, I'm getting old, that's my trouble. You can explore quite a long way back in your conversation, so don't take too long about it. We've got about 3 minutes. And Dave and I talked about this. We were on a fairly long car journey on Thursday and trying to work out the best way of doing it. So what I've done is I've given a few dimensions, and these may not be the ones, because I thought about giving it out on a sheet of paper so you can mark it down, but there may be more. These are the dimensions that I thought of when I thought about my family's attitude to money. Did they think of it as scarce, or did they think of it as plenty? Did they think of spending, or did they think of saving? Did they think of giving, or did they think of keeping? Did they think of money in terms of worry, or did they think in terms of trust? Did they think in terms of splashing out or eking out? You know that word eking, you know, try and make it go as long as possible. There may be other variables there, but find somebody and have a chat with them and see if you could talk a bit about how you think your family thought about money, because even if you don't think it affects you, almost certainly that's there somewhere along the way. Okay, and I'll give you one example of that afterwards. But have a little talk with one another. We're not going to get feedback on this because we are running short of time. Oh dear, what a surprise. So you've got about 2-3 minutes. Okay, hope you started a conversation there that may lead you to think about stuff. Over the couple of years ago, my parents both died, and it led me to think a bit more about money, because you have quite intense interactions with brothers and sisters, of course, at that time as well. And we were having a conversation with my sister and brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law leads a very big London church, well, biggish London church, and a very large charity. And he would say, he used to be a stockbroker as well, he would say that there's plenty of money there. But my sister really struggles with that, and she would admit to doing so. So she will do her best to get everything as cheap as possible and wander around the aisles of Tesco's looking for yellow labels. Now, there are people who do that for fun, including my wife, but she only wanders around Marks and Spencer's to look for the, and Waitrose to look for the cheap labels. For a few others of you do that as well. It's interesting that it comes through. And I know that I have had very great difficulty keeping hold of money, particularly in our early years. Wendy was just at the opposite extreme. Friends of ours used to say that you had to step back when Wendy opened her purse because of the moths flying out. Whereas with me, it would be just spend it because of never having hold of it. And it's been something that I've had to learn that it isn't always the case. And it wasn't always that I was giving. I was just, the value of things, because you'd always bought the cheapest. Once you got the money, you bought the most expensive. And actually fluctuating all the way through my life between spending too much and spending too little on things as life goes along. So, you see, you could also ask the question, what was your family's attitude to health? How did they think about health? I can remember one of my early memories was of my family standing around with my granddad holding my little brother, who was 3 months old, with bronchial pneumonia, and praying for God to heal him. So that is part of what has been built into me over those years. Sometimes we saw healing, sometimes we didn't. But that's not our focus this morning. So you're all in different situations, because there are some people in Dayspring who are on benefits. I've been on benefits for about a week and it was miserable. Yeah, sometime. Some of you will be at the position where you're dealing with family around money, you've got young kids and that affects things. You're thinking about stuff like university and things. When I went to university, there was only 8% of the population went, hardly anybody from my kind of background, and my costs got covered throughout the whole thing. Of course, if you only have 8%, you can do that as a country, but when you start expanding it out, it makes things different. And of course, when we actually got married, I could not believe that anybody would want to buy a house. In fact, I thought that it ran contrary to faith and trust in God, because it involved borrowing money. Yeah? And that came through. It was partly, of course, because we lived in a council house, everybody. We knew lived in a council house and had done so. Grandparents on both sides lived in council house. And in those days, your living room, your main room, front room, the room that people rarely went into, was decorated by the council every 2 years. And the rest of the house was decorated every 5 years. I think they stood across the room and threw paint at it, but nonetheless, that was the way it was. And it just didn't make sense. And I married somebody whose parents had scrimped and saved to own a house all that time. And then when we bought a house, people say that, you know, baby boomers didn't have a problem with mortgages. Oh, sure as heck we did. Because salaries were not as great, and you had interest rates of 15% when we were buying houses. So, of course, the value went, the value appreciated, but still was a heck of a lot of money. And it was, in fact, in the next generation that people began to see the benefits, and people began to travel abroad, and more people owned houses, and so on, all the way, more people went to university. And for my family, it was the move from very much respectable, dreadfully respectable working class, to being at the lower end of the middle class, where we've managed to stick. Okay. So that's where it is, different sort of situations. But you know, this connection between being blessed financially and blessing others exists, continues through the Bible. I like this one. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. So there's this connection with being blessed and blessing. And it works the other way as well, it appears, that if you bless others, you will be blessed. Now, of course, this is one of those things that makes Christians very uncomfortable, sometimes with good reason, because of the televangelists, whose message is not that you should bless others, but you should bless them. And they make it equivalent, so that if you put your seed money. You ever heard anybody talk about seed money and God TV and so on into their particular project? It will come back to you. And if you read between the lines, and somewhere on the lines, somebody gave all their money to this particular church, and now they have a big vehicle, and not only that, but a trailer and a speedboat behind it. Okay, so it's I give to this ministry, it comes back to me. Now, that is clearly not what is happening in this sort of context. And of course, the big thing is that, bear in mind, blessing is not just money, it's the favor of God. And in fact, you have to remember that God has put a date on when he's going to pay back everything that you've invested in the kingdom. You got the date, Karen? You got that date?
Yeah.
No. I tell you what, I'll be able to read it on your gravestone. Yeah? Okay. That's where it finishes up, you know, in the funeral service. When I do funeral services, I always get overexcited about this. But it's a bit mercenary, that bit where you talk about ashes. Well, not that's not the ashes to ashes dust. But you end up with 1 Corinthians 15. Because you end up with the sentence, "For we know that our work in the Lord is not in vain." Okay? And one of the delights of standing next to the coffin at the end of the service, when I put my hand on the coffin or turn towards the coffin, is I think, yeah, I wonder what the so-and-so is getting as a payoff now. And you think of the fact that somebody like Roy's mum, who was a very ordinary lady, never had much there, she's got the payoff now. And all you're thinking about, jewellery and stuff, gold, bling, guys, it's all involved, it's all there, but some of it's waiting for you. And I have to say, the more you fuss about having it here, the more God's going to say, I'm going to keep it for up there. Right? So the blessing bit of blessing others is a long-term payoff, some of which we get down here. Some, but not all of it. So, there's another story in the Bible. I might have to run this into next week, but I don't particularly want to because I want to get the other one. There's this really interesting story in Haggai after the country had been blitzed. It really had. They went back to try and build the temple in Jerusalem. And they started out, their goal was to build a temple in Jerusalem, and the idea was they were going to build some pretty temporary houses for themselves first. So they did this, but then they thought about, what else do we need to do? And so they put windows in their houses. Of course, they didn't have glass at that particular point, but anyway, they put shutters on. And it actually says they even went as far on their houses, you know, these mudstone houses, of having panelled wood inside. They went nuts, okay? They got it all, got it polished, got there. And then they said, when we've just got the garden done, then we'll start giving towards the temple. Does that sort of echo? Have you ever realised that every house is a money pit? There's never an end to what you can spend on what you want. Your car is always a money pit because you can always upgrade. Your holidays are a money pit. Your hobbies are a money pit, which is why we need to sing, "I choose my priorities." And so God said to them through Haggai, give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in. Have you ever had that experience? We've known phases in our lives when you might just as well have got your pay packet and stuck it on the fire. Because as soon as the money came in, the washing machine went, or the car went, or the kids grew out of their shoes, or some other unplanned disaster, like a child putting on 2 shoe sizes in 3 months, happened. Okay? And God says, watch it, guys. because there's a relationship between you prioritizing your own stuff and prioritizing my stuff. Prioritizing being blessed and getting a blessing. We're going to have to finish off in a minute, but I want to ask you a quick question and then two quick stories, and I think we're there. Right, 1 minute on this. Oops, let's go back. I pressed two slides. No, get back. Sticky fingers, I think. So, here's my question. You got it, yeah. What were Jesus' big ideas about money? Just think of three words which would describe what you think Jesus said about money. To one another. Just 60 seconds, because you're all looking pretty blank. Just 30 seconds, guys. Big ideas about money. Did you mention the word trust? Yeah? Among all the words, probably the word trust is the most important. It comes up so many times in one way or another. You know about the lilies of the field? In terms of the fact that they do not even go to the next sale or to Primark, and they still look better than anybody does. Yeah? Talked about the fact of where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Did that amazing thing with Peter when Jesus was doing some political stuff, when they were short of money to pay the tax, and they got a fish out of the water, and it had got stuck in its throat. A coin, enough to pay the tax for both Peter and for Jesus. I bet the others thought, why didn't I ask about it at the time? Surely could have done five more fishes and paid for the whole team. But that was there. Probably the most famous story that Jesus told, the one that sticks in our mind, is the story of the rich fool. Do you remember there was a guy who was such a success as a farmer? Really unusual farmer, because he admitted to being successful. But farmers are not known for doing that. But he was hugely successful, took down all his barns, built up bigger barns, got everything stacked away, said, I'm going to retire. Right? And God said, you fool. And fool was a very bad word. You know, it was an F-bomb to drop into a conversation, call somebody a fool. And Jesus said, you fool, tonight your soul will be required. Who will get what you've laid up for yourself now? Big story. Now, I don't know where it went, but I thought I'd put a picture by Rembrandt in there. And it got a little guy with a candle and piles of paper and round glasses, looking like the classic miser, you know, sort of... You wonder whether they got the idea of Scrooge from there. But just ask me a question. When you think of the rich fool, do you think of somebody older than 45 or younger than 45? Why do you think that is? Yeah. But there are a load of people who are under 45, got multiple houses, who are doing well in business, who know that they've got their sort of pension marked up. You see, you can be a money fool at any age. You can be a money fool when you get your first car. Remember the guy who sold us our Prius, I forget what the little sports model is, but he hadn't been working for Toyota long, and he told us that he'd got this car, which was the sports car that he really enjoyed so much. And so he was a 23-year-old person who thought about money in a particular way. Then I'm sure when he got his mortgage, he would have thought about it in a way. And, you know, just because you've got a nice car, got your mortgage paid off and so on, it doesn't mean that Jesus is talking about somebody else. If, in fact, you are preoccupied with money and thinking in terms, I've got to have enough for the future, then it is probable, I'm not saying it's not good to save for pensions. We do all we can to do that so we don't have to be a burden on others. That's good spiritual principle, desiring not to be a burden on others. But the issue is, where does your hope come from? Where does your safety come from? I can remember talking to somebody and he was saying that his financial advisor had told him that his pension pot was two or three times as big as most people's. Okay? The next week, I heard that he was in hospital having a heart bypass. And you sort of think, goes to show, bit of a balance. How do we think about our finances? And just to finish off, you can pick up 2 Corinthians 9, very famous thing. And the principles that Jesus talked about come through there very clearly. The first is this, that that when we are blessed, we sow it and then we reap. So if God gives you energy, you use that energy to bless others. If God gives you health, if God gives you a home, you use that home to bless others. And in due season we reap, bearing in mind that some of the things we reap are after the gravestone. Yeah? Most important things. So sowing and reaping, first principle. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. If I wanted one big takeaway, and probably I should have put this on the slide on its own, it would be this next verse from 2 Corinthians 9. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, God's interested in things. Oh, something I meant to tell you about Jesus. And, you know, do you remember when Judas went out to betray Jesus, right? It was during the feast, wasn't it? Can you remember what people thought he was going to do? Why, gone off. Sorry?
Give to the poor.
Well, there were two things. One of them was give to the poor. What was the other one? Pardon? No, actually it wasn't on this occasion, but they certainly used money for that. What was it? It was to buy something for the feast. And I thought that was really interesting. The disciples had a pot of money and they could use it for helping the poor and they could use it for partying as well. So both are built into that. That's a really nice snippet that I got from Hugh Osgood. And I've only ever heard him talk about that because people tend to veer on one side or the other, but it's both. Yeah? So you can buy 2 McDonald's, give one away, you can eat one yourself. You know, I know a lot of people who do that. It's a strange way to bless people by giving them McDonald's, but there you go. But God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And what is the key dynamic in blessing? Is working out what you need. Yeah? You know, the hungry person says, never enough. I always want more. Yeah? But actually deciding what you need, how much you spend on this, how much you spend on that, whether you buy this quality, whether you got Tesco's or Marks and Spencer's to get your tea. You know, all these things become part of the issue. And so really what I'm doing today is asking you the question, how do you define blessing? How do you define abundance? How will you know when you've got enough? Because I tell you this much, if you ain't got enough now to be able to bless others, you never will have enough. Yeah? Okay, so the final thing here, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Do people recognize you as a generous person? One of the keys to understanding about blessing. So whether it's health and you're being generous with your energy and time, whether it's your home and your family and you're being generous with that. Whether it's your financial blessing, as we make room for Jesus, our attitudes change. We've got the song. We're going to play it. I won't play all of it. I'll just play it. Don't worry about singing it. You can sing if you want. Think about it, because this is where the cookie crumbles, guys. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's in this area of how we run our lives that we make room for Jesus and give him our priorities. It's a fact, isn't it? What do you treasure? What do you put into your week? What are you clearing your diary for? Yeah? What's important to you? You ever heard anybody say, unless Jesus is Lord of all, he is not Lord at all?
I will make room for you. I will prepare for two, so you don't feel that you can't.
I'm going to pray as this plays through again. I'm going to pray about areas that affect me. Lord, you know there are days when I'm just aware of being blessed. Days when I find it easy to be generous, to think generously, to not begrudge the time that I invest in your purposes. And Lord, there are other days when there never seems to be enough. And Lord Jesus, I recognize that on those days, there's a bit of an issue about whether I believe that you are good and that you understand and that you really care for me. And the thing that's sticking with me at the moment is this idea of preparing for two. Preparing for what I need, but Lord, preparing for you as the other as well. And not only thinking of the rest that I need, but the rest that others need. Of the time that I need, but the time that others need. That the spending that I need, but the spending that others need as well. And Lord, I pray that you will form within me, and in doing so, form within others. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray, and change our lives as we seek to make room for you. Amen. Okay, guys, I hope you sort of managed to pull the strands out of that. We'll put the Bible references up because there were a ton of them that I just slid through so that you can have a look at them alongside the recording, even if you heard the talk this morning. Okay?